From out of the night comes the whispering voice of the night wind to tell another strangely fascinating story of man, of his success and failure. Tonight, the story of the miracle on the gallows. Unbelievable, but true.
I didn't do it. There are men out there who could save me if they would. I didn't do it, I tell you. I didn't do it.
The voice of the night wind, and this is the tale I tell. A forgotten mystery story of the miracle on the gallows. A miracle that occurred at Columbia, Missouri, on February the 7th, 1894, when Will Purvis, a 21-year-old farmer, was hanged. It was the year 1893. In Marion County, a secret band of night riders, the White Caps, were terrorizing planters and Negroes. On a dusty trail that led into the township, two riders were patiently waiting. Suddenly they stiffened, as along the trail two horsemen came riding.
Here they come.
Are the buffaloes all right?
We'll teach them to split on us.
Holding us up to ridicule.
Taking the part of a dang Negro.
We'll give our belly full of lead as they pass.
Fusillade, Will Buckley dropped from his horse, shot to death. His brother, Jim, escaped to tell his story to the sheriff. He said that two men had hidden behind a clump of bushes and that the one who fired the fatal shot was Will Purvis. Purvis was arrested and tried. Despite his protest of innocence, the verdict was guilty, and Will Purvis was sentenced to be hanged. Through the long months while his futile appeals to the higher courts were being heard, he was visited regularly by the Reverend W.S. Sibley, pastor of the Columbia Methodist Church.
There's a pastor here to see you, Purvis.
Pastor?
Yeah, you're a Methodist, ain't you?
Well, I suppose that's as good as any other brand. Sure, I'm a Methodist.
Mr. Sibley here would like to have a few words with you.
Okay, why not?
Go ahead, Pastor.
Thank you, friend.
You listen. Before you get started, I better tell you how I stand regarding this religion.
Sure. Go ahead, son.
Well, I don't believe in any of it. Why, Christians, they call themselves, and yet they're aching to put a rope around my neck.
Maybe you have cause to be bitter, son, but bitterness never solved anything.
Oh, what's this you're giving me? The old routine about love thy neighbor? Well, it won't wash, Mr. Sibley. It won't wash.
I'm not trying to tell you anything, Will. But I wonder if you'd let me read you something.
Oh, sure, sure. Why not? Go ahead. It ain't going to change me any.
It's one of the Psalms of David. Yes, it's quoted more often than anything else in the Bible. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
Week by week, the Reverend W.S. Sibley visited Will Purvis. And at last, the man who had acknowledged no religion became converted. Impressed by the behavior of Purvis, the minister was led to believe the condemned man was innocent. The night before the hanging, the Reverend Mr. Sibley held a prayer meeting by torchlight in the courthouse square, where hundreds knelt.
Friends, tomorrow Will Purvis will be called upon to pay the penalty of a guilty man. We who believe him innocent humbly ask the intervention of the Almighty to guide him in his hour of darkest need.
Next day, Will Purvis was led from his cell to the place of execution.
Steady, boy. Remember, every step you take is with God.
I have no worry, Mr. Sibley, over the destiny of my soul.
This way, Purvis.
Slowly, solemnly, the little procession wended its way to the gallows. The condemned man steadily mounted the scaffold.
Would you like to say anything, Purvis?
Yes, Sheriff, I would. I didn't do it. There are men out there who could save me if they would. I didn't do it, I tell you. I didn't do it.
The next moment, the black hood was placed over Will Purvis's head. The Reverend Mr. Sibley murmured a soft prayer to his
God. Almighty God, if it be thy will, stay the hand of the executioner.
God help you, Will Purvis.
The lever is thrown. The crowd cried out. As the body shot down through the open trap door and the rope jerked hard, suddenly there were screams and shouts of astonishment at the amazing sight that they witnessed. Purvis lay on the ground under the gallows, the black hood still over his head, his hands and feet still bound. But he was very much alive. And the hangman's noose swung high above the open trapdoor. Empty.
It's America.
A sign from heaven.
America. America. America.
What has happened? No one can put a noose tight with a hangman's knot around a man's neck in such a way that the man's head will slip through as his body drops. If the knot slips, the noose becomes tighter. And the sheriff performed no trickery, for he believed Will Purvis guilty. For a moment, there was a dazed silence. Then two deputies sprang towards Purvis and dragged him like a sack of potatoes back up the steps to be hanged again.
Well, we've got to do it all over again.
Beats me how could it happen.
As they reached for the rope, the Reverend Mr. Sibley leapt to the scaffold and cried to the crowd,
"People of Marion County, the hand of Providence has slipped the noose. Salvation has heard our prayers. What do you say, friends? Shall Will Purvis be hanged again?
No! No! No, we don't!
I charge you, Sheriff, that to hang Will Purvis now would be to defy the judgment of the Almighty.
Those are powerful words, Pastor. I don't exactly know what to do.
Take Will Purvis back to jail. It's fair a petition should be sent to the governor before another attempted execution is carried out.
Yeah, I guess that's fair enough. Come on, Purvis. Let's get going before anything happens.
So shaken and bewildered, the sheriff took Will Purvis back to jail. A petition was sent to the state governor, but he believed Purvis guilty and refused to commute his sentence. After that, despite three appeals to the state Supreme Court, Will Purvis was sentenced to be hanged again on December the 12th, 1895, nearly 2 years after the first attempt. For most men, the strain would have been too much. Their minds would have snapped under such torture. But Will Purvis, praying constantly, was sure the Lord would save him again. He was transferred from the strong Columbia jail to a shabby little prison in his own hometown. The case had roused such sympathy for the condemned man that the authorities granted this unusual privilege so that he could be close to his friends in the last weeks of his life. Then, one night, a few days before his sentence was to be carried out, shadowy figures began to creep towards the dilapidated jailhouse.
They ain't gonna hang Will Purvis.
Not while there's a man in town able to carry a gun.
Will's no killer.
That's right. I grew up with him. I know him. One of the gentlest men who ever lived.
Well, all right, boys. Half a dozen of you go to the back door, or we attack from the front.
From out of the shadows, the mob stormed the jail, overpowered the guards, and as the town hall clock chimed midnight, Will Purvis was set free. The governor offered a reward of $750 for Purvis's capture and $250 for evidence that would convict his rescuers. But the rewards were never claimed. And Will Purvis lived quietly in the hills with his kinsfolk. Then came a new election and a new governor. Sensing popular feeling regarding Will Purvis, the new governor had promised, as part of his campaign, to commute Will's sentence. Will gave himself up, and his sentence was commuted to life imprisonment. 2 years passed, and then a petition was got up pressing for Will's pardon. The request was granted. The petition had been signed by thousands of citizens, including the district attorney who had prosecuted him. Will moved from Columbia to a country farm, married the daughter of a Baptist minister, and became the father of 11 children. Every Sunday, Will and his wife went to church and gave thanks to God for saving his life. And then, when Will was 47, the last chapter in this amazing case was written.
So be it. Your time has come. Have you anything to say before you die?
Yes, Father. There is something. It's been troubling me for nigh on 26 years.
Now is the time to confess it, my son, and ask forgiveness of Almighty God.
Yeah. Well, years ago, I was a member of the White Caps.
Yes, my son, continue.
It was me and another member of the gang that did the Buckley murder. Will Purvis was innocent.
The confession of Joe Beard was a sensation. After 26 years, the name of Will Purvis was finally cleared. Rather sheepishly, the state decided that it was morally bound to do something for the unfortunate man.
The state of Missouri, having deliberated upon the matter, is of the opinion that a grant of $5,000 be paid Will Purvis as compensation for the indignities and persecutions he has suffered due to a miscarriage of justice.
In 1943, the end was written to this amazing story when Will Purvis died peacefully at the age of 70, a respected citizen of his community. Call the story of his rescue from the gallows an accident, if you will. An accident that might happen once in the history of the world. But Will Purvis has testified,
God heard our prayers. He saved my life because I was an innocent man.
And that is the story of the miracle on the gallows. Miracle or accident? That's something the whispering voice of the night wind cannot tell you. But those are the facts. Unbelievable, fantastic, amazing, but true. A story told to you out of the night by the whispering voice of the night wind. Of the night comes the eerie voice of the night wind with stories that are
amazing,
intriguing,
exciting,
mysterious,
strange,
but true.